he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the day after. Boy, the day after the worst day of the year. This is the Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Yesterday it was our inverse funds that led the way. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got Barry Kite here, our chartered financial analyst. We got another inflation report out today that we'll be going through. But right now we've got, let's just call it a nervous start to the market, but we're up. Okay, I think that's a good sign. We held some important support levels yesterday. The Dow is up 44 right now to 31,149. The S&P is up 11. That's 0.3%. It's at 3943, and I said 3900 was that important support level, and it did hold that yesterday. The Dow's important support level was 31,000. It held that so far. And the NASDAQ up 44 to 11,678. I sent out charts to all my Seeking Alpha subscribers during the thumping yesterday. The NASDAQ's important support is at 11,600. Small caps down a little bit here today so far. Let's see what else we've got. The crude oil up $2. The crude oil stocks are on fire today. They're at 89.28 is oil. Gold down a little bit. The 10-year, 3.44, and Bitcoin down 900 to 20,296. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Which will it be today? I think a little of both is in order right now after yesterday, which was the worst day of the year. And, of course, before we go into today's news, we definitely have to kind of give the account, the score of what happened yesterday, worst day of 2022, worst day since June of 2020. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. The Dow down 3.94% yesterday. Man, Barry, I can't. A 4-point drop in the market is something to behold. I mean,
it's a much more orderly market now. You can get a lot more volume through the market, you know, with technology and computers of that thing. But it's not much. I mean, 4% on the Dow. I mean, you know, and I think it was I think the Nasdaq was down a bit over 5 almost.
Yeah, we'll
right
get
around
to that.
There. But I mean, you know. I mean, those are numbers that, you know, I would have seen my dad walk through the door in, you know, 87, like the 87 crash. Of course, the tape was still rolling, but then, even when you showed up, because it took hours for all those orders to
yes.
go through. But
and mom would avoid dad, right? And the
yeah,
dog would avoid dad.
Yeah, that's a big day. Dad would avoid dad, you know, but that's a big day.
Okay.
You know, and so you put that into context in history. I mean, it's a big move. I think the one thing is, it was pretty darn orderly. I mean, that's that is the one thing I can say about through all this volatility going through, you know, COVID in 2020. I mean, you know, market dropping 35% in a month, in the month of March, and what we had our quickest correction back then. Ever and things are at least orderly. I think that's the way I would
yes.
look for a silver lining. That's the way that I would
yes.
kind of describe things.
My pain was orderly yesterday.
Yeah, right.
It went from bad to worst in a very orderly progression. The Dow, the S&P was down 4.32%. That's the bad news. The inverse S&P 500 SH. And don't add a couple of letters to that now, okay? We're going to leave it at SH. The Dow was down, or the S&P was down 4.3% yesterday. And if percentages don't impress you, well, the Dow was down 1,276 points today, okay? It's been a long time since it was down four digits like that. The NASDAQ was down 5.2%. That's the bad news. The good news is the inverse ETF, PSQ, was up 5.2%. So that helped alleviate a lot of pain yesterday. That was the Tylenol in our portfolios. You know, at the end of the day, I can state publicly, I guess the S&P 500 was down 4.3% yesterday. We were down 1.54%. We have a 40% stash of cash. The stash of cash, I think it's up to 41% today. And, of course, we have several inverse funds in most portfolios. So that helped ease the pain. That was salve on the wound. And like I say, you know, that's alpha, okay? If the S&P goes down 4.3 and you go down 1.54, that's over 2.5 percentage points of alpha. The NASDAQ down 5.2. ARK Funds. Has anybody heard from Kathy Woods lately? Last I heard,
just
she said...
Just the deflation. She thought deflation was occurring. What, that was three or four days ago.
Yes, wrong again, Kathy. Deflationary environment. She was down 6.7% yesterday. The two-year, this is pretty astonishing, went to 3.83 yesterday. It, you know, that's a pretty good return on a two-year, but when you've got inflation of 8.3, that's not such a good return. You know, the real return is negative 4.5. You have a 41 basis point inversion right now because the 10-year is at 03 point. Where's the 10-year at? The 10-year's at 3.42. The 2-year's at 3.83. So 41 basis points. Obviously, the bond market is saying that the odds of a recession has gone up considerably. Why? Because the Fed is not going to pivot. You're not going to see a pivot. In fact, I see some people, you know, for a while there, I thought the market was wrong here recently with it thinking the Fed's going to pivot and only do a 0.5% next time. I'm seeing a couple of big analyst firms, couple of big research banks predicting a 1% hike at the next meeting. I'm not in that boat. I'm in the 75 basis point boat, but even that they're talking about it is a pretty big deal. The optics don't look too good for the White House. They're doing. I thought the celebration was yesterday. It's today, the day after the bashing.
Oh, no. Is it today?
They're going to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, it's coming down. Inflation's coming down, you know. The market doesn't think so. The market had the worst day of the year yesterday. So the optics not too good at the White House. I think they ought to postpone that thing. But if they do, the cost of all of the food and everything that they're going to serve is going to go up. So maybe they should have it now. Industrial stocks have the worst day since 2020 after inflation runs hot. And, you know, Barry, once again, the higher the P.E., the bigger the stock drop. And you get into the no P.E. stocks, the EVs. Let's just use the EVs as our proxy right now. The electric vehicles that don't have any earnings and won't have any earnings for quite some time. They got hit the hardest, okay. Next hardest were just your standard NASDAQ stocks. I mean, we're talking the software stocks, Microsoft. We're talking the semiconductors, AMD, NVIDIA hit a new low. The higher the PE, that is, you know, what happens in an inflationary rising interest rate environment. That continues to be the most vulnerable area of the market. The CPI rose to 8.3%. The White House claims it's leveling off. Okay, well, the market's not seeing it yet. NVIDIA hits a 52-week low as chips plunge after hot inflation report. On Monday, traders foresaw a 91% probability of a 75 basis point hike, but they did not see a 100 basis point hike in the Fed's future. Now they're starting to, some are starting to price in the possibility of a 100. 100. I mean, that's what Volcker did, right?
Yeah. 100, 100 and 200 at a time.
Yes.
I did read some, you know, the silver lining to the 100 would be that, you know, the thought would be that they're closer to not doing any more big, big raises. So, you know, I guess we can talk on both sides of is 100 good or bad. It's, you know, they're thinking that the 100 will at least get them to where they need to be faster, I guess.
Well, inflation talk not over yet, because today we got the producer price index. Barry's going to give you the rundown on that one when we come back. Market getting a little lift under it right now. That's a good sign. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we're on technical watch. Okay, there's some major support levels here on the Dow, on the S&P 500, on the NASDAQ. And should there be a drop below those, we could add to our inverse positions. We'll see. So we're going to watch that. And I would just say that the market remains very nervous, very skittish. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see it go negative and then positive, then negative, then positive, and then negative. That's kind of where we're at right now in this thing, with this talk of a 1% rate hike coming up. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see. The ECB did go big. They went 0.75 here recently. Okay, Barry, you're the chartered financial analyst. There's all kinds of weird language in here. What do you make of this PPI? It was in line, right? It wasn't as bad as the CPI?
Yes, yeah, certainly. So getting we had the consumer price index yesterday, as we know, was not a good report. The PPI essentially came in, you know, it came in line with the expectations. When you break it down, not a terrible report as you can see from the market's perspective here, but there's, you know, it's not the source. Of course, it's not all, you know, it's not all a rosy report. I mean, you still have, you know, year to date producer price index up 8.7%, a year over year, which is still, I mean, which is still a very, very high number. Interesting that when you break apart some of the, you know, where did we see some of the pullback in inflation? Your finished goods was actually down 1.2%. Services was actually up 0.4%. And I think the unique thing there is the U.S. is, you know, is mostly a service economy, right? And so the biggest part of our economy is still, you still have, you know, prices going up versus goods and services. So freight was an interesting piece when you kind of break it down. Of course, energy was down about 6%, so that led to a lot of that goods price, you know, decrease of 1.2% for the month. The problem there is, as we know, energy is the most volatile piece. I mean, energy could be down 6% this month, could be up 6% next month, right? So to say, hey, you know, looking at it month over month, we're moving down on the price, producer price index. Well, you know, that's something to me that you could reverse very quickly also, right? With energy prices, going the other direction potentially. Freight was down, you know, interesting. You know, you talk about freight all the time. Of course, we've got the, looming, train union strikes, potentially that could add to this or disrupt it, but freight was down 1.9%. So that was, that was a positive. The last piece, though, is core is actually going up. So when you strip out, you know, food and energy, you know, core was actually up 0.2% for the month and up 5.6% on the year. So a bit of a mixed bag. You know, my biggest worry is, you know, the real part of the report that was positive that actually, you know, brought some of the inflation down was related to energy, which is the most volatile of all.
So. Yeah, and I mean, there's still pressure on energy. It's going up back up today. And then President Biden signaled that he may be looking to refill the strategic reserves at $80 per barrel. He shouldn't have announced it, his intentions. I mean, that's like saying, that would be like me saying, you know, right after the show, I'm going to buy 2 million shares of some $2 stock, right? Because it's going to move it up. It's going to put.
And they wanted to show that they made, you know, quote unquote, made money on it because they, you know, were set, you know, taking it out at, say, $100 or whatever a barrel, right? And they're going to refill it for 80. Well, you know, we'll see. They could probably buy a lot of, you know, some discounted oil from Russia if they wanted to refill it.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't make money on it. We may have used the
right,
we didn't sell it at a profit. That's
right.
How you make money. But,
Yeah. Okay,
all right. So, anyways, and President Biden is saying it will take more time to tame inflation. He says it will take more time in response to the stronger-than-expected CPI data for August. He said there's more work needed to pull inflation down, but today's data shows more progress in bringing global inflation. I hope so, because the market didn't think so.
Yeah, the quote I saw was, don't worry, the economy's strong.
Yeah, well, you know, that has nothing to do with it. That's not good for inflation. In a growing effort to curb inflationary pressures, Biden pointed out the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act, which they're celebrating today. I don't know if the, you know, the ham sandwiches have got to be up 12% versus this same time last year and cheese and all of that. But, the Inflation Reduction Act goes after healthcare, prescription drugs, and energy. Well, I don't see the energy part myself, other than solar. Is giving benefits to the solar companies going to bring down fossil fuel prices? I don't think so. But, you know, that's what they're calling it. The bill is also set to boost taxes on corporate income and create a new 1% levy on stock buybacks, which are both inflationary. Well, we're seeing a lot of calls out here that it looks like the market has not seen its low of the year yet. And I'm saying we're going to have to watch those technical levels here. We're seeing a slowdown in Europe. That continues. The Eurozone industrial production declined 2.3%. That's a big miss. Let's just look at the inverse fund on Europe, EPV. EPV had a huge day yesterday. It's up again today. Europe still has a world of trouble. UK inflation, only 9.9. Okay, we came in at 9.3 yesterday. But
looks
UK,
better than a 10 in front of it, right?
They were expecting 10.1, and you know the old adage, if you call it $9.99, you're not going to say it cost $10. Petro price dropped, but inflation remains at a 40-year high, and so does the petro price. And you know what? I mean, they're a long ways away, UK, of getting a fuel cost down. I mean, they just now got a new prime minister, and she is going to frack if they let her. I don't know if they're going to let her do that or not, but, you know, that's going to take time. That's not going to be an immediate thing. Bank of England seen lifting policy rate to 4% by August 2023. Now, you want to put on your calendar, the Dow's now down 99. Like I said, I would not be surprised to see it above the line, below the line, above the line. Right now it's below the line.
Which is why we are holding. I mean, as a firm, we can tell. That's why we've got that cash position that we've been holding.
Yeah, it's a volatile time in the market. There's a lot of commotion in the world. We've got inflation. We're fighting the Fed. But put on your calendar September 20 and 21. That's
okay.
A week from now. That will be the next Fed announcement, how much they're going to hike interest rates by. We don't want to miss that. I'm taking the day off that day, Barry. You'll be in charge. I'll be fishing, and we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now Show. And it looks like the Dow about ready to go positive again. Follow the bouncing ball. The Dow down 21 right now. Nomura forecast 100 basis point rate hike next week and sees a terminal rate. I don't like that word, terminal, of 4.5 to 4.75. Holy cow. That would be something.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's kind of, you know, 4.25 was kind of that neutral rate prior to, in the old Greenspan days, prior to 08-09. So
wow.
I guess, you know, maybe getting, you know, whatever normal means anymore, but maybe getting back to a, you know, normal or quote-unquote neutral interest rate policy. We'll see how long they can actually stay there before they need to reduce it to fuel some growth again.
Well, over the long haul, mortgage rates have averaged about 6 to 7%, okay, for a 30-year loan on a home. That's about what they've averaged over the long haul. And we got down under 3% there. That is way outside of the norm. And it's been there for quite some time. And, of course, mathematics say that, you know, numbers have a way of reverting back to the mean.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing now. But, of course, the Fed, they're not doing it on their own. They're doing it with help of the Fed. Now, Nomura is an outlier, okay. But there's one, and I did see one other one. In fact, well, there's the data, Fed Fund Futures. Ah, that's something to watch every day. Are now pricing in a 22% chance of a 100 basis point Fed hike next week, while leaving a 78% chance of a 75 basis point. I'm in that 78%. I don't think they would go 100. Isn't there an election November something?
Yeah, and they've been signaling 75. I think you know, the other thing is I think going 100, right, well, then that kind of potentially reduces what they may be able to do the next time after that. So, you know, if you're going to do 70, you know, two more 75s, who knows? It's and like you said, with mortgage rates, we're at highest since 2008. That came out today.
And we're at 6 yet?
Yeah, 6.01 on a 30-year.
Oh, man, we haven't seen 6 in a long, long time.
I think it's since 08, which was 5.94, I think, around in that range.
Well, you're going to continue to see home prices dropping on Zillow.
Okay. And think about refis. Refis. You want to guess how far down refis are in terms of activity? 80% since last year.
Yeah. Who would refi? I mean, you'd have to be at 9% or 8% to refi. Nobody's at that. Well, I have a lot of friends that are in the mortgage business. It's boom or bust. It's been boom. You know, they've been the ones buying new sports cars and loaded Jeeps, stuff like that. You know, eating at the fancy joints. But just like everything else, you know, cyclical. Everything's cyclical. I've seen a lot of cycles in my short life on this planet, and I'm sure there will be more. Now, if there's not enough trouble in the world, well, first this one. U.S. federal budget deficit expands to $220 billion in August. The U.S. government spent $220 billion more in July than it collected. Man, I couldn't get away with that. Expanding from 211 shortfall in June and 170 in the year period before. Don't our politicians, I'm so glad that they're minding the mint and they're watching over us while we're working our you-know-what's off every single day.
Yeah, minus $220 billion. If you were a company that was running
you'd be out of business by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, they want all these companies to be sustainable. They want me to eat sustainable, a can of tuna that's sustainable, coming from sustainable. They want our energy future to be sustainable and the planet to be sustainable. And they're about as unsustainable. By the way, my pillow guy, he got raided by the FBI. They took his phone, and I don't know if they grabbed any pillows while they were in there, but You know, I was in Arizona a year ago or 2 years ago, staying at a hotel, little vacation kind of, and I heard this familiar voice, and it was Mike Lindell was staying at the hotel where I was. So and if you don't see enough of him on the radio, and yeah. I mean, hear him and on TV, I see him at the hotel I go to.
He's everywhere.
He's in my medicine cabinet.
Yeah, my buddy where I grew up in Destin, Florida. I took a picture with him at a restaurant there.
Yeah,
I don't know, like
he's
a celebrity. Year and a half ago or so.
Well, he may have a mugshot here pretty soon. Railroad workers strike. Okay. Just what we need. Okay. That is 60,000 rail workers and their unions. I would just say, just from a casual observer's point of view, I've never seen so many strikes and workers' uprisings around the world than I've seen here in 2022. It's just one after another.
And it's harvest season, which is it comes at a pretty at an opportune time for the union in terms of leverage wise. And it was interesting. I saw one of the sticking points was unpaid leave, and I'm like, that's fine. I mean, if you don't want to work and we don't have to pay you, I don't understand why that's a sticking point. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Well, the unions are looking
unpaid,
out for their workers.
So.
Now there's already reports of railways stopping to take grain and animal feed shipments. Okay, there goes chicken prices again. You better run out and buy a bag. I use chicken drumsticks in my crab traps, I trade in a drumstick for, three nice blue crabs. That's a pretty good exchange.
That's a good trade,
It may be that the chicken legs are going to be more expensive. Well, they're also they put a halt to ammonia fertilizer.
That's all the fertilizer piece, yeah.
Not good. And this is, yeah, it is planting time in some areas, the winter crops, in time to ensure that sensitive cargo is not left unsecured. Other raw materials are also facing uncertainty.
Well, you get spoilage. I mean, that's the big, big piece of it is, some of the stuff is time sensitive in terms of, it's not going to be in the same condition if it stays out for, extra week or so.
Boy, I'll say. Well, okay, so Europe's got big problems. We seem to be in a little bit of chaos here. President Xi arrives in Kazakhstan, for a state visit. I was looking at the countries that are getting together there. It reads like the 38th chapter of Ezekiel.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised India showed up on the list. I know they've been need some forms of cheap energy, and that's where they've kind of been turning to Russia to get that. They've kind of been benefiting from that, but that was the one country that kind of didn't kind of fit the mold, I think, of the rest of the countries that I saw on the list.
And Erdogan's there. I mean, he's definitely flipped. Erdogan Turkey used to be a pretty good ally. And Iran is there. They're not a member, but they're there.
When Erdogan does whatever's good for Erdogan,
Yeah. So. But these are like the countries that could be, plotting the overthrow of the world are gathering. And, of course, Xi and Putin are enough, right? Okay. Well, at least I got a MyPillow to put my head down on. No, I don't have a MyPillow. I bought one, but it didn't work for me. Alliance Bernstein says, we believe this more market has more room to run. Okay, so they're the other ones out there besides Nomura. And Alliance Bernstein, let's see where they say we're headed. Oh, yeah, they're the other ones. No, well, I think that they're kind of thinking that we might get a bigger rate hike. They're not giving a target price here, but they're saying, well, double line, Jeffrey Gundlach, the guy that I just don't find to be right very often. I like to follow people that are right most of the time.
He talks his book a lot. He's always wanting things to be bad so rates can be cut and his bond portfolio goes up.
I guess he didn't become a billionaire investor by being a bad investor. He is a billionaire. He expects the S&P 500 to fall to 3,000. Okay, well, we're currently at 3,900. That would be quite a drop. I've said that from a technical point of view, I could see it going back to the lows that we set about 2 months ago or so. Right now, I'm just interested in watching the 3,900 level. That's the support level. S&P, he says, will go to 3,000 from its current level. And he says he'd do a 25 basis point hike at the next. Well, of course he would. He manages a bond portfolio. Okay, well, when we come back, I got to find some things that are a popping. Popping and a popping. There's some. There's quite a few, actually. We'll be right back. To the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, and you know, just what I said, that it's now positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, positive, negative. It's positive right now. Dow up 68, NASDAQ up 56. It's the energy stocks that are doing it. They are leading the way once again. And you know, yesterday, where we had the S&P down 4.2. I mean, we were lucky. We were down 1.54, which was pretty good compared to what it could have been. But, you know, we were helped. Our largest position is LNG. It's become our largest position.
Yeah, in cash.
Right? Yes.
In holdings of cash.
And LNG, I mean, was one of the few stocks that had a really good day yesterday in a Dow that was down almost 1,300 points. And look at LNG again today. Do you realize that that thing's breaking out to a new 50, to a new all-time high? All-time high. Look at that chart. That is the best-looking
chart. Wow, up 4.5% today.
Yeah. In the entire market.
And you got Equinor. I mean, you look down the list. I mean, Equinor is up 3. Also a big liquid natural gas producer. You've got, you know, the refiners are having a decent day as well. So I was reading about this from a strike standpoint. You know, you've gotten a bump in a lot of the commodity prices because of course, the uncertainty around a potential strike.
Well, and the railroads carry oil. I mean, it just seems to me like pipelines are safer. You're going to have less spills and stuff like that. Instead, we're carrying oil in our, especially Burlington Northern, which is owned by Warren Buffett. They carry a lot of oil.
We'll check APA today.
That's another one. It's the pure natural. Look at that chart. We own APA. That's beautiful. But it's the pure natural gas plays. Well, Boyle, the natural gas ETF, is up 6.2%. Another natural gas, pure natural gas play is EQT. Fantastic chart. Cup and handle breakout today. We have ignition. EQT is up 7% today. CRK, which is Comstock Resources, we have ignition today, up 10.1% as the rally in oil. Okay, that doesn't help the inflation picture. We had the worst print. The PPI was worse than expected. Today the PPI comes in better than expected. And like you say, the only reason they weren't worse, well, the energy cost. And look what energy stocks are doing today. Energy stocks are a leading indicator of where oil is headed and where natural gas is headed. And they think they're going to get inflation under control and, you know, buying and refilling the reserves now. That's very inflationary. It's going to drive oil prices higher. So I don't see them doing the things that would bring down inflation other than the Fed. The Fed is the only inflation fighter we have. You know, I'm going to look back at Volcker's regime, and I don't know what if the president at that time Jimmy Carter was the president. Before that, it was Gerald Ford, I want to say.
And then into Reagan, even with Volcker, and I think at least the first couple of years.
Yeah, so what did Volcker get any help at all is my question. Did Volcker get any help at all in fiscal policy, or was he able to defeat inflation by himself through monetary policy? I'm sure I'll get some emails on that. I don't really remember. You know, I was more focused on other things back then in that period of time, the late 70s, early 80s. I'm not sure if Volcker got any help. And that leads to the question you got to ask yourself today. Can our Fed chairman Powell and his cronies, the Fed governors, can they get inflation under control all by themselves? Well, I suppose if they put us in a deep recession, they can.
Well, and that's why I think Yellen's been silenced pretty much, because I think you know, she knows economics, and she knows that when she was the chairman, she was asking for more help on the fiscal side.
She was,
and now she is on the fiscal side, I think she knows she's like, this isn't going to work on the fiscal side, which is why you don't hear a lot from her. But
no, she's been noticeably quiet recently. Yeah. Now, the other ones that jump off the page to me, dang SQM, which is energy, okay? Look at that, man. That thing is surging. That's Chile, okay? You've got a Che Guevara kind of guy running Chile right now. And they
scared us away from SQM.
It did, but we should have stuck with it. We still have a few clients that transferred it to us, and I kept it because they came in recently. And they did vote against that radical, the most leftist radical constitution ever written. We voted that down. So SQM looking pretty good here today. Very nice move. And once again, I mean, that's an energy stock at the end of the day, and it's a fertilizer stock.
Well, and I was using Enphase as a great example of
yesterday,
course, interest
that's
rates.
Right.
You know, interest rates have rocketed up in the last 2 weeks, especially if you're looking at the 10-year. And, you know, look at a chart of, say, Enphase.
Beautiful chart.
Yeah, and they got a PE of 75 and have been unaffected by interest rates going up, meaning, you know, energy is energy is the great tailwind at the moment.
And, they think that, investing all this money in solar is going to bring down inflation, but solar's a long ways out of making a dent overall. I think it's 8% or something.
You've got to redo the grid. There's a lot of
and on the electric vehicle, yeah. That's not really going to bring down inflation. I mean, the cost of electric vehicles is going through the roof, and we don't have the grid right. I don't know. Well, you know what? Look, we keep you on top of all of this. I did see one company lower their guidance. It was Nucor, the steel company. They lowered their guidance, and I believe they are a member of the S&P 500. And I saw Johnson & Johnson reaffirm their guidance. So it's all about earnings at the end of the day. Which way are earnings going this year, next year, and the year after that? That's in the newsletter every week at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about your portfolio, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.